little bit crazy. Let's get a 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 little bit crazy. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Javon Show. I am your host, Javon, and today we have Miss Ayanna McDonald. That's who's on the show today. That's where she is. I know y'all see her. Go ahead, like it, love it, share it right now. Ayanna McDonald. Miss McDonald, how are you doing?
Hey, Javon. I am doing well. Oh, my goodness. I'm so honored. Thank you for the amazing welcome. I'm so excited to be on with you tonight.
Cannot believe you're on the show today. I am what they call a bit of a stalker. I mean, fan.
You're too kind. Oh, my goodness. I'm excited. Let's go. I'm excited.
Oh, we're going to go. Okay. But I want to go ahead and give the people an idea. And this is the first part, the very first question of every single person that comes on the show. So I present it for you before the body. Who is Ayanna McDonald?
Well, I'm glad you asked. No, I'm just teasing. Ayanna McDonald is a minister of the gospel, a singer, an entrepreneur, a businesswoman, someone who truly loves God and his people and wants to change lives through all of the gifts that God has given me, walking in my purpose every day. That's who Ayanna McDonald is.
That's such a humble way of presenting yourself. First of all, the second question of today's show, do you leave off the H?
You know what? I don't leave off the H, you know, but, you know, I've heard different iterations of my name, mm-hmm. but I think the H puts a little hot sauce on it. So, yeah.
Yeah. I always be like, yeah, humble. And then when they say they humbled and then they go brag about
something. I know.
I like that way of doing things. That's the only way I know how to navigate.
I know, right? But I mean, humility is key. I will say so, because when you remain humble, God will just open amazing doors for you. So I'm team humble with the H all day, every day. H.
How do you be humble with all of the things that you have done in your life? I mean, just singing on classics and just being in every important room that there is in the industry. How have you remained humble? How do you stay grounded?
You know, that's such a great question. For me, having been through what I've been through in my life, I think, you know, when Paul the Apostle talks about the thorn, right? I believe your thorn keeps you humble. When you understand and recognize where God has brought you from, all the things you've been through to get here, the processing, the crushing, the good, the bad, the ugly, the in-between, the highs, the lows. That's what keeps me grounded and that's what keeps me humble, because with every door, with every opportunity, I recognize and understand that literally, and it's not cliche, I am literally a walking, breathing testimony as to God's goodness and faithfulness. And so when you understand that and you recognize that, you don't get on platforms and act brand new. Because you know for sure that literally, God, I am literally only here because of you. Through every season, he literally has just been so incredibly faithful. And so I always keep that in the back of my mind. And that's what keeps me grounded and humble. Because honestly, we're all literally one moment, one situation away from being right back to where we were. So when you know that, you approach everything humbly, because you literally know that it was all God.
You're just one off key, one off note, one crack away.
One crack away from a slice of humble pie.
So tell me about the experiences growing up. Did you always know from the very first time that you opened up your mouth that you was a singer?
I will say yes. I was blessed to have a lot of amazing mentors. My parents really pushed you know, just in general, just the gifting. I think that's so important. I'm big on mentors. I think mentorship is important. And so, yes, I would say from a young age, literally starting at 3 years old in church, you know, I was either doing something with singing or serving in some way. And I laugh because I literally have done probably everything in church, meaning like drums, ushering, you know, choir.
You play the drums?
Yes, and I was horrible. Okay, so.
So you won't be playing on the new JJ Hairston album on the drums?
No, no time soon. So we'll leave it to the pros. But, you know, I say all that to say, like, from a very young age, my family, my parents definitely cultivated that gift. And they surrounded me with other people, mentors, coaches, teachers, to make sure that we were able to extract the gifting that was in me from a very young age.
You say a very young age. Now, I know you said three, you remember kind of getting out there and doing your thing. Was there an age that you felt, you know, I'm kind of being treated like I'm a professional veteran. I kind of want to be a kid. I want to experience kid-like, teenage-like things. Have you ever come across that experience?
I have. I would say at 14, a lot changed for me. I mean, I don't think I was able to get a grasp on, you know, the true magnitude of my singing and what it could do in the lives of other people until I was a teenager. So I always laugh and say that God got me young. He knew he had to get me young. Mm-hmm. But with that being said, it wasn't until those transformative years that I realized, like, hold on, this is really a thing. Like, people are really being touched by my music, by my gifting, and I really need to take this seriously. I think because of that, though, I didn't have the stereotypical teenage experience, because a good chunk of my life was spent in church, singing, performing, you know, just really cultivating my gift. And so, you know, I think when I look back, I'm actually grateful that it went that way, because I think in a lot of ways it prepared me for my now and what I'm doing now.
What was one of the first songs you remember singing?
So there was this song, it's old school, because I grew up with the hymns, very traditional. And so He Looked Beyond My Faults and Saw My Need. When I tell you, that was my go-to song. Like, if they needed me to sing, I was going to sing that song. Like, that was my song. That song and Precious Lord. And so I grew up on the hymns. I love the hymns. And so I grew up actually Church of God. So we were very traditional in the music that we, you know, ministered. So it was always going to be a hymn for me.
So was it, but those hymns weren't at like age 4 or 5, like, as I look back over my life at the age of 6, that wasn't something, like, were you singing songs that were in your age range, or do you feel that you were just ministering songs, whether it was a true testimony for you or not?
At that age, I didn't know, right, what it really meant to sing Amazing Grace or those things. But I will say, growing up, we were raised on the hymns. And so we literally were singing those hymns, like, from a young age, Amazing Grace, you know, those, that literally is the music that I grew up on. And my household was like, my parents did not play like Beyonce, like, at that time, I mean, there was Destiny's Child, but literally we were a pretty strict Christian household. So honestly, secular music wasn't even allowed in our house. I used to sneak and sing, steal my older sister's Whitney Houston CDs and pretend that I was Whitney in the mirror doing all the Whitney stuff from a young age, because literally my parents were not having it. They were like, you're going to sing these hymns, you know what I'm saying, these gospel songs, and that's about it.
So I remember when Kirk Franklin first came out and when we heard Stomp for the first time, and we were like, salt? Of salt and pepper? That is salt?
What? And,
right. Wait, salt? So then there's that. And then I remember the first time I heard Ty Tribbett's, excuse me, can I talk to you? I'm not
a singer. I'm
talking about that whole album. Like, you know, he has the sound of them on the train and ministering on the train tracks and all this other, and the drums and things like that. You hear that transforming sound of gospel going from the 80s to the 90s, the 90s to the 2000s. We're in 2023 right now.
Yeah.
And the long-winded question that I'm trying to ask you is, where can we take gospel music now to where it can continue to transform and evolve to where it can continue to grow? Do we have to go trap gospel in order to be relevant?
I don't think so. Now, here's my take on it. You know, I do think that everyone in their uniqueness will find their style, their sound, like you referenced the Ty Tribbett. Ty created something that we had never heard before, right? Same thing with Kirk Franklin. You know, I even think of Israel Houghton, how he was able to merge really what some might view as CCM with gospel and kind of create this synergy between the two worlds. I think we're going to see more of that. I don't think people have to fit into any one box. I just think there has to be a commitment to being uniquely who you are. But I truly believe that what will stand the test of time is music that is foundationally based, not only just in the word. I'm big on not following the trends, but creating the trends. And I think what we see a lot of are people that are creating what they deem is going to be sellable, what they deem is going to be popular, but is that a song that is timeless? You know, when I think of like a JJ or Lord You're Mighty, or even some of the hits that JJ has written down through the years, those are songs that my future children will likely sing, right? And so I think we have to ask ourselves the question, are we creating music and a sound that is timeless, that years from now, generations from now, will pull out a Lord You Were Good and sing it? Or are we creating music and a sound that is sort of riding the wave of what's current? I think every artist has to decide whether or not they want to create timeless music or a music that is current for the sound. And I think if I had to choose, I would want to create music and write songs that years from now we'll be singing all across the world. And I think, you know, every artist is unique in their pursuit of that based on their goals and what they want to see for themselves. But I'm all for the timeless music for sure.
So you mentioned this guy, this trendsetter in his own right by the name of JJ Hairston. You are familiar with JJ Hairston.
Yes. That's big, bro.
How did you get, or how was that introduction made with you and JJ? How did you all meet?
Yeah, this is actually a great story. And so I actually lived in the New England area, lived in Boston for a good chunk of time, probably 10 years. Berklee College of Music is actually my alma mater. And so I went there for college. I'll never forget one night, one of my college friends was saying, "Hey, Ayana, I want you to sing lead. You know, I have to lead this choir at this church in Connecticut, and I need you to do leads on these two songs." So I'm like, "Okay, cool." It's a Friday night. I was like, "I'll come through. I'll do these quick songs, and then I'm going to be on my way." And so two of the songs were actually JJ Hairston songs. Gosh, what song? I can't even remember. It's been so long ago that I can't even remember the songs that we sang. Oh, it was Lord of All. One of them was Lord of All. And I think another one was Grateful, I believe, if I remember correctly. But anyway, so I led these songs, didn't think much of it. I get on stage and I look up and the writer, the GOAT himself, JJ Hairston, is in the audience. And I said, "Oh my God, I'm singing two JJ Hairston songs. And he's in the audience right now." I was like, "Oh my God, this is crazy." And so I did my thing. I just was true to myself and did what I needed to do. And then after that, a few days later, JJ was like, "Oh my goodness, you know, you blessed me, you blessed us, you know, we'd love for you to be a part of YP." And it's crazy how time flies, because I think I might be going on, Lord, I'm getting old, but I think 8 years maybe. With JJ and the YP family, and it has been truly an honor just serving with YP, some of the most amazing, incredible minstrels in the world. So I'm just honored to be a part of the YP family. And honestly, JJ to me is one of the greatest songwriters in the world. He has just a pen that is unmatched. And so again, when we talk about timeless music, to me, he is certainly the embodiment of that and what it means to create timeless music.
So being in the group, you come across, you know, the group becomes family because you all travel so to many different places, and you have, you know, long conversations and things like that. Are you familiar with the young lady named Melissa Bethea?
Oh, Mel, she's my favorite. Mel is actually one of my favorite singers.
She's one of your favorite singers? So she sometimes co-hosts a show with me, and I want to play something for you, and I need to get your reaction. Do you have a moment?
Absolutely.
Look at this real quick.
"Count on me through thick and thin, a friendship that will never..."
No, please stop. Please stop. Please stop.
Now I heard Melissa when I came on, and she's awesome. So I don't know about what you're giving me now, Devon. But Melissa sounds like she's safe.
Now, Javon, you have heard the woman of God, okay? The answer is no, and don't ask her no more. Now...
My question is, how often does Melissa throw you under the bus?
I am screaming. Melissa has never thrown me under the bus. That is my sis in whom I love, who I'm well pleased. She's just so amazing. So.
I wonder what it was about me that she decided just, she picked me up. And I said, okay, oh, I thought I nailed that audition. You're saved and like I said, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. What would you say of my audition? I think I nailed it. Now, be truthful. Thank you for your answer. I think you already answered enough. Moving on. So it is a family, right? How are you able to maintain that balance of ministering for someone and making sure that they're elevating and that that they're getting what they need and doing the things for yourself?
Yeah, I think it's actually amazing because I think every experience teaches you something else. So for me, it's been really amazing because I feel like traveling and ministering with JJ has prepared me for my now. Okay. You know, being able to stand on different platforms with the YP family has literally prepared me for what I'm doing now. I draw a lot of inspiration from him. I pull from him and Trina's example. I think their integrity, you know, how they conduct themselves both on and off stage is something that we would want to emulate. And so for me, I take it more from the lens of I'm taking notes, right? I'm learning. I believe it's important to remain a student of whatever season God has you in. And so when you're around greatness, you glean from greatness, you learn and you grow. So for me, I never view it as like, oh, how am I going to do both? I view it as, God, you have me around greatness to be able to stretch my capacity for me to grow and glean in order to continue on in the continuation and trajectory of what you have me doing. And so for me, it's been just learning and growth. And in fact, I feel prepared for certain platforms because I've been able to walk on some of those platforms with as a part of the YP family. And so for me, it's been a tremendous blessing.
What do you take from the YP family and what from there do you specifically implement when you're doing your clinics and being a clinician and trying to share those things with others?
Yeah, that's a great question. For me, the things that I, number one, the professionalism, right? I think there is just a professionalism, a preparedness that you need to have. And so one of the things with YP that I've learned tremendously is literally no matter what platform you're on, large, small, in between, come prepared. Show up as a consummate professional. And that is one of the things I will say down through the years. We've always, you know, conducted ourselves as consummate professionals. No matter what the scenario was, no matter where we were, that is critical. And I think for any professional, if I, you know, as I do clinics, you know, preparedness, showing up as a professional and treating every opportunity equally as important. I think this is something important because nowadays people kind of chase fanfare, they're chasing platforms, they're chasing numbers. And you know, we're not knocking any of those things because they certainly play a role. But I think it's important to every room that you're in, no matter what room God has you in, should shift because you walked in there. So it should shift because of the anointing, and it should also shift because of what you're bringing to the table. And so I say all that to say that literally through traveling with YP, whether it was thousands of people or maybe a church with a few hundred people, we literally went and gave our 110%. I've never been on a platform with the family where we didn't go all in, no matter where we were, who it was. And those are certainly, you know, so preparedness, showing up as a professional, and that passion. If I were to give my three P's, you know, I'm just going to give my three P's, but I would say those are the three things that you would certainly need to have and things that I have been able to draw from being a part of the family.
You are also an entrepreneur. What is it that you take away from your entrepreneurship that you also have been able to utilize in your faith walk? Are there some things that you've experienced where you just were like, you know what, this is the test of my faithfulness, dedication, or this is the test of me not cussing out people on a regular? Let's just be real and being honest and being keeping it 100. Mm-hmm. What is something that in your entrepreneurial walk that your faith walk has helped you deal with?
you know, to answer your question, I think the biggest thing, like, immediately would be resilience. Being able to say, you know what, that happened, but I'm going to get up, I'm going to brush myself off, and I'm going to keep going. I think a lot of people stop in the middle because life just does what it does. And so we stop and start, or we start and then we just say, forget it, I quit, I'm over this. But if you always do that, you'll never literally get to the other side of God's promise. And I think I can honestly look back and say, you know what, had I quit, had I thrown in the towel when I really wanted to, I wouldn't be able to have or be where I am today. And there's still so much more to learn and to do. But I'm super grateful for where I am now, with more to come. But I would never be able to experience that had I quit in the middle.
What entrepreneurial opportunities are you currently working on right now that just makes you wake up in the morning and go, thank you, God, for this opportunity?
Yes, I'm glad you asked. Well, I'm fairly passionate right now. I have a nonprofit called Kingdom Girls Rock. It is a nonprofit for empowerment for teens and women, really across the globe. And so we launched, you know, 5 years ago, have done some amazing things in the state of Georgia. So right now I'm working on expanding us, not only to other states, but even globally. And then I'm also launching what's called the Sister Link, because I'm finding that people just, adulting is hard, and making genuine friendships, connections, a supportive community of faith based women who just literally are not catty. They just want to encourage each other and just build together for whatever our dreams and goals are. You know, I saw that that was a gap, and a lot of people have been reaching out about coaching or mentorship. So we're actually launching within the next few weeks what's called the Sister Link, which is our coaching and mentorship program. So I'm very excited about that because, you know, for me, I'm multidimensional. I don't just do music. Music is near and dear to my heart and always will be. But for me, I'm also finding impact in other endeavors such as Kingdom Girls Rock. So right now I'm working on that. And then also real estate. I love real estate. I think it's important. And so just continuing to build a real estate portfolio. I think it's so important to be able to fund your own goals and ideas. I don't think there are limitations that we should put on ourselves. You know, when you look at a Bishop Jakes is not just a preacher. He's a filmmaker. He's an author. You know, he had his own talk show. He's on Amazon. Like, I believe in not putting limits on what you can do in the kingdom. And I truly believe, you know, some people say you can't have it all. I think you can. I'm going to try. You know, those are some of the exciting things I'm working on. So
I want to add one thing in there. You are such a great communicator, and I love your energy and your spirit. We at iDream Media is doing this thing called the Launch Your Voice Initiative, and this isn't to reel you in. This isn't a sales pitch, but I can definitely see you with a podcast and sharing your knowledge and your expertise and just these words of affirmation with people. So as you go about building on these things, I would really hope that you would consider doing the podcast, because I hear just in these, 28 minutes that we've spoken, just some nuggets that I know that especially young girls can glean from you and be able to help them in their walk.
Oh, thank you so much. You're amazing. I mean, you made it so easy, like amazing question. So thank you.
You are more than welcome. Now, there's this thing that we do. You know, I didn't just start singing for CC because it was just something I wanted to do. It's because we have this portion of the show called The Creative Break. And on the Creative Showcase, The Creative Break, you have to sing a song that we, our audience, your family, friends and followers know that you sing that's not gospel. So here's the thing. I don't want to hymnal. I do not want to hear a country song that's gospel. I don't want to hear a jazz song that's gospel. Shout out to the Grammy winner for Best New Artist, the jazz singer. She's amazing. Phenomenal. But I want to hear a song that people say, oh, Ayanna McDonald, yeah, she's a gospel artist. Well, she was on the Javon show and she sang and blew it away. So as you figure out what song that's going to be, I'm going to sing a song first, just so that you can not have the pressure of going first. And then that way I will knock it out for you. I am. You talked about Whitney Houston. as being one of the songs that you sang. So I'm going to sing Whitney Houston. I want to dance with somebody. I want to build a hip with somebody. Yeah, I want to dance with somebody. With somebody who loves me. Say you want to dance, don't you want to dance? Say you want to dance. Say you want to dance, don't you want to dance? Say you want to dance, don't you want to dance? Ha ha. Ooh, with somebody who loves me. Hallelujah. See, every song that I do ends with a hallelujah. You got to put a praise on it.
You got to wrap it up with a praise. Yes.
Melissa, be hating. So, back to you. What song would you like to do for the creative showcase?
Oh, this is a good one. Okay, well, I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to choose Whitney too. I'm going to choose a song that I definitely will probably have sung at my wedding, like whenever that is. We don't know. But I believe in you and me, so I'm going to give it a whirl. I believe in you and me. I believe that we will be in love eternally. Well, as far as I can see, you will always be the one for me. Oh, yes, you will. And I believe in dreams again. I believe that love will never end. And like the river finds. Okay, you gotta watch the next episode to hear the rest.
You better sell it. Yes, that is, oh my goodness. Whew. For those who are wondering, how do they get a hold of a Yana McDonald on social media?
Absolutely. Follow me on Instagram. Love Instagram. At Ayana Mac, AYANAMAC. So one N, not two. And then, of course, on Facebook, Twitter, of course, same handle, Ayana Mac for all. And then on my website, please feel free to contact me, www.AyanaMcDonald.com.
Fantastic. We're going to go over to Instagram right now. So you all follow us over there. We're about to get out of here. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Ms. McDonald, for being on the Javon Show.
Thank you for having me, Javon.
On behalf of our executive producer, Dr. T.L. Holmes, Dr. Anaisha Thompson of Elevate Magazine, and on Melissa Bithia, my co-host who's not here today, Lanisha, and Marquise Jokes. Thank you all for tuning in. Get a little bit crazy. Hello, everybody. My name is Javon Show, and I have the pleasure of being a client of the Marquise Jokes. The Javon Show is releasing, and people are watching because of the great and tireless work that Marquise Jokes and his team has put into rebranding us and putting us in a position to be successful. There is no other place, no other source, no other gatekeeper I would recommend than the Marquise Jokes. The one, the only, Priscilla CC Winans hyphen Love, First Lady. And with CC, you so fine. Will you be doing more TV appearances to promote the album?
Y'all are crazy.
I'm saved.
You say Melissa is the one. He's the one. Oh, God. Well, you know what? We'll see what happens, where we're going with this record. I'm very excited about it. I'm excited for Belief for it. I think it's a message that we all need to hear. We all need to, we've been through a lot. A lot of people are broken. A lot of people are discouraged. Mm-hmm. And this song and this record, I believe, will bring revival. I think it's going to encourage people to look up and to understand that it's faith that moves God. And if we can just believe his promises are true, then they're going to come true in your life, you know? And so I'm excited about just worshiping, you know, there's power in worship. There's hope. There's the Bible says the garment of praise will lift the spirit of heaviness. And a lot of people are heavy right now.